Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to What's the Topic Again podcast. I am your co-host, Imaria Love, aka Mars on the Internet.
And I'm your other co-host, Deborah Love.
And today we are going to be kind of discussing a pretty deep topic. I think some people probably have, like, you know, even like surface level talked about this probably on social media and stuff like that. But we're going to be talking about the difference between sympathy versus empathy. And there are two different types of ways that how you can express these certain type of
emotions.
Yeah. And specifically, we're just going to more or less do a deep dive like we normally would do for these stylized episodes because y'all seem to enjoy it. So we are willing to see a little bit more on this demographic of sympathy versus empathy. And we'll be right back after this little break. Put her spectacles on and she's ready for the road. Yeah. Oh, and side note as well, I want to say, this is probably the
wow, wake somebody up.
No, I'm gonna say the first time, in my opinion, for us for this whole podcast that we don't have our glasses on our face. We have contacts now.
And I have readers on.
Yeah.
So I can see. All right. Here we go. The relationships with sympathy versus empathy. What's the difference? So when you're talking about sympathy, you're really looking at trying to understand that other person's emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to understand their feelings, how they're going through, what they're going through. You're just trying to understand it. You're showing them sympathy. On the other hand, we're talking about empathy.
You're trying to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, just trying to imagine how you would feel if you were in the same situation.
Right. So,
we're definitely going to put down the website where this came from
because
this was done, at least updated on this website.
Last year.
May of 2023.
It's still early.
Yeah, and this is by Catherine Chan, MSc, BSc, PMP. So, it's medically reviewed by the psychiatrist, Dr. Sabrina Romanoff. So we're going to basically just go from there. So which is better, empathy or sympathy? Are compassion and empathy the same thing? How to be more sympathetic and empathetic? If you notice with both of those words, when we talk about sympathy and empathy, you notice both of those words end with P-A-T-H-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that is from Greek.
Greek or German? Mm-hmm. That's what I was gonna say.
It's Greek.
Mm-hmm.
It's from, I know I've seen it earlier, but it's from a Greek word.
Mm-hmm.
Which, at least from...
As it always will be for a certain type of words, either Latin or Greek. It's got to be one of them.
Right. So we often come across the words empathy and sympathy when talking about how we feel. However, sympathy involves understanding someone's emotion from our perspective,
mm-hmm.
and empathy involves feeling their emotions from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So although both words are used in situations that involve emotions, both of them does, they cannot be used interchangeably as they have different meanings.
Yeah.
So,
we talked about this earlier anyway, at least I told this to my mom, like, in certain situations, you know, it's good to be sympathetic to somebody,
right.
but also you can still be empathetic to somebody as well. It just depends on circumstance, you know.
Because
certain things you don't need to put your involvement in or emotional two cents on it on every single situation. Sometimes you're like, okay, I get what you mean. I'll be here though, and you can bounce. And then specifically with empathy, like friends, family, or even just a certain random stranger that you just see crying on the bench or something, and you're like, what happened? You know, trying to understand that person in that moment, you know, like,
that's where empathy comes in.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's what I personally told my mom. I'm like, this is not like it's a power imbalance, if that makes any sense. For each word, it's more sense of, for certain circumstances, it's good to use either or, in my opinion. Good or bad depends on your intent, but we're not going to talk about that.
Right. And then, too, when you think about sympathy, a good analogy of it from reading this article was when you going in the section in a car store, or the section, say you go to Walmart and you go looking for a sympathy card because someone lost a loved one. So that's most of the time when we normally using showing sympathy, it's because someone lost someone that was close to them, be it a pet, be it a family member, a friend. So that's where the sympathy come in at.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that emotion is displayed towards that person when they lose someone. And just like you were stating earlier with empathy, it's more or less putting yourself in that person's shoes to try to feel that emotion that they are going through at that
mm-hmm.
moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So although both words are used in situations that involve emotions, they can be used interchangeably as they have different meanings. The main difference between sympathy and empathy is how we express and experience our emotions towards someone's situation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see here. Okay, just like, for instance, if someone, yeah, you can pull that up too.
Mm-hmm.
If someone you see how mine's cut that off.
Mm-hmm. But it says on here, according to the American Psychology Association Dictionary of Physiology.
Yeah, I wrote that on the back of here.
I'm going to say the definition of sympathy and empathy are as follows. Sympathy is feelings of concern or compassion resulting from an awareness of the suffering or sorrow of another. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then empathy is understanding a person from his or her frame of reference rather than one's own or what do you say that word?
Vicariously.
God, I've never seen that word in my life. Experiencing that person's feelings, perception, and thoughts. Just to give some reference on that, anyway.
So just like you're saying, you know, when we're doing expressing our condolences to someone with a sympathy card, you aren't putting yourself in their position and imagining yourself struggling with their situation.
It's almost like a pat on the shoulder, being like, "I'll be here, B." You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's possibly to have sympathy but not empathy,
right?
You know, because as you go on social media, especially when someone lose a person close to them and they may post it out there on social media, then you see that outpouring of sympathy when people say sorry right. for your loss, praying for you.
Now, some of them, it might be genuine, you know, like actually like genuine
but
concern.
That's
but
just,
most of the time with social media is quick response people to be like, you know.
But, you know, that's and almost always when someone's saying that, you can just start typing it up and boom, everything pops up for you to say. It already is prescripted for you to just click on it and you amongst that group saying that you're sorry for the individual's loss.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact that that's how our emotion responds to as far as sympathy. When someone loses someone, we are sorry for it, but we still don't know what they're going through.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. Unless you may have experienced it
right,
as far as losing
something. Losing somebody like that, you got bunches of people that will either just move on with it, like nothing has happened.
Right,
and
right.
And then you have other people more since spiral off of it that they can never really recover mentally.
Right.
You got some people that's like, it's like a mental toll and they distance themselves from everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so many, like, different outcomes with people, in my opinion, so that's where the empathy comes in and, like, maybe check up on them, you know what I
right.
mean? To
right.
just, you know, make sure that they okay, you know, because you don't really know.
Because most of the time, someone say, ooh, you know, especially, I'm sorry for your loss, I know how you feel. Even if you may have lost a loved one,
mm-hmm.
and it could be
close
like
or not, you
yeah,
know.
A father, mother, sister, brother, even if you have lost that individual and someone else lose that loved one as well, still doesn't mean that you feel the same way that they feel.
Because mm-hmm.
everybody emotions and like you were saying, responses are different in
right.
certain situations. Some people is not going to show no public emotion whatsoever.
None.
Or may not show any emotion at all.
Like I said, all of them are
losing.
Like scary sight to see
right.
either way.
Right.
You know,
so
it's like, ugh.
Everybody shows their emotions in a different way. And I know with me, and I can give you an example as far as losing my dad. And at that moment when my mom called me and told me that he passed away, I was more concerned about her
yeah.
than what I was about myself.
Yeah.
With my feelings, I wanted to be strong for her. But at the time of the service,
the greatest heroes also have their weaknesses at right. time too. So
and at the time of the service, it was like, okay, I'm holding it together. I'm holding it together. And then just a certain song came on and
it this man started
singing. And that was it. And my mom yep. tapped me on my shoulder and she was like, come on, you know, and they took me up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the fact that I dealt with it in my way.
Mm-hmm.
But then having that that realization of it happening and just going through it, because she broke down at the cemetery.
Yeah, I broke down probably like several times, even like when she told me specifically
right.
and even after the service. Like
right.
I broke down when she first told me specifically, because it was like almost a slow burn because
yep,
she was trying to ease it into you
because it was the first loss that you've had mm-hmm. of a loved one that was that close to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because her and her granddad had a real good connection.
Even though it was short still though,
right.
I took that connection very
right.
close to me as a kid.
Right.
And I like she said specifically, I did cry at the cemetery. I was bawling.
We're
I'm talking
bawling.
About snot. Eyes
I'm
were
like,
red.
I didn't know how to control that at that moment. I'm like, you know, calm down. You're going to make yourself sick.
You
calm
see
down,
how,
calm
like,
down.
You know, women will weep specifically in a movie. That's exactly what that little old me did specifically.
Yeah.
It was that
yeah.
bad. And even afterwards, I would say it took me probably, I would say 2 years to even recover on it. Because even the mention of his name would make
it
me tear
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it would definitely did. So I made sure I didn't say anything about granddaddy to her or around her. Because the first time that I did and you basically had an emotional breakdown again, I'm like, okay, then. She ain't ready to discuss him because that feeling is still there as far as he's still
mm-hmm.
here. You haven't accepted that he has passed on. So
yeah.
I let her bring him up because I know
yeah.
you saying you remember.
I remember.
Almost like communicating with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw it in my local church while I was like at a summer camp at my local church. That's what I was doing. And specifically, it was nap time because we were still elementary school kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. So after like after lunch anyway, we like, you know, played a little bit, then we took a nap, and then I really couldn't fall asleep, so I was like playing on my DS, and then I turned over and trying to like, you know, maybe doze off for a second, and then his presence came to me not once but twice specifically, and that was an earlier event, but specifically he came to me in the church, you know, I saw his silhouette and saying that everything will be okay, and then it's just almost like on the sense of like a let me go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically after that, I would say it got better after that point, but the one before that anyway, I told you I had a dream about him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like almost me and him walking together. That's what that was. And it was like almost like just like a misty white, you know, like how it would
right.
be in the movies, like type
right.
antics like that. But I would say a week after my granddad's passing anyway, specifically, I was, as a kid, depressed. I would say that because I really was sad in the classroom. I really didn't
yeah.
have no motivation to even do anything. My teachers were concerned because it's like, is the household okay? You know what I mean? And it's like, it's fine. It was just because I think one of my teachers called
yeah,
you
yeah,
and
I
she
told
had
her
to
what
explain
happened.
It.
Yeah.
And she was like, the teacher was very nice to me. It's like, do you need time specifically? You don't have to do your work or anything like that. If you're not really in the mood to do it, you could do it at another time to still get like, you know, a passing grade and you'll be okay. I just, sorry for your loss and that's it, you know, just
yeah.
some light. That's it. And it was very sweet of her to do so. And after that, I'll say, like I said, it did get better over time, but it definitely was a process for me as a kid. That's all I have to say.
And most people don't realize the effect that losing a grandparent is on a grandchild.
Yeah.
You know, because even though you were young, you were still connected to your granddaddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, and our nicknames from him. My nickname from my dad is Ugly. So I'm Ugly number one. and she was ugly number two.
Now, the reason why specifically that he nicknamed her ugly was more sensitive, since she was pretty, is reverse psychology opposite.
He didn't want that to go to my head.
Right.
So I know you're cute, but I'm going to call you ugly.
Mm-hmm. And so, then she popped out a pretty child, and that's why ugly number two exists. So,
you know, and he was the only person, you know, that, and I know when he called me by my nickname that he had given me, I'm like, sir, you know, because if you call me anything else, I'm like, what's wrong? Because he never really called me Deborah. He always called me by the nickname he's given me.
But anytime when a parent says, like, your full government, it's like, I'm in trouble.
Right, right. So, but I still, I'm just recalling, I don't, you know, in the beginning, you know, when him and mama got together, because he's actually my stepdad, but to me, in actuality, he taken the place over, he stepped in those father shoes, in which he was already there when my biological father passed away when I was 11.
Yeah.
So he had been in my life that entire time up until my 30s, you know, well, my 40s.
Yeah, because, your 40s, because I was 40s. In the picture, obviously,
right,
at a young age.
Right. So up until my 40s, you know, he was that present as far as father figure for me. So it's always have been pops or daddy. So that's the way it's been. So it was just that, that presence was there, that he, when, yeah, I was Deborah in the beginning, but then when we knew that that presence was going to be there, then he just started nicknaming all the kids. So all of us had our nickname. And it really was based on our personality.
Yeah.
You know, I never did look at myself as being a beautiful person. I still don't look at myself as being a beautiful person today. I'm like, I look all right, you know. So I look at myself in that aspect of it, but, you know, just him giving us nicknames, and then I knowing that he loved me just like I was his own biological child, I wouldn't take nothing from it. You know, I miss him all the time, just like I miss my biological dad all the time as well. It's just that loss.
It can affect
it never,
somebody.
But yeah, it affects you, but it never goes. It never goes away.
No, whatever.
You know, you can still reminisce and think about some of the happy times or sad times you all had together, or how you all gotten through some challenges and obstacles or whatever in your life. And it would sadden you at times. And then other times, it would just make you smile. So just keeping that person's memory alive, that's basically what I do. I mean, my dad been gone for over 40 years. But it still doesn't lighten the fact that he's not here anymore. You know, it's still a loss. It's still something that, you know, you just deal with on a daily basis, because there was a loved one that you really cared about that, you know, just to me, it was a young age for him to pass away at that time. But, you know, you do things and we never. And if you're a biblical person, in the Bible, it states that you don't know your day or time.
No.
You don't know when you're going to pass away. So you just live every day of your life to its fullest, because
you get one body.
Right.
You know,
and some people get second chances. I'm not going to say some people don't flatline and don't come back.
Right,
so,
you
get your second chance.
Like I said,
what?
I believe in reincarnation too. Like, when your time is done on this earth, at least in that vessel of that body anyway, I feel like it either like gets transferred either to nature, or more sense into another vessel, you know what I mean? Either in an animal or at most another human. That's what I personally think about.
That's her belief.
That's my spiritual belief. Let's put it like that.
Okay. And we're going to say, okay. And it's nothing wrong with that. Basically, I mean, you can see some characteristics in nature, in animals, that's almost like human-like.
Right.
You know, like, because
no way.
This one that we got over here, I swear,
right, she got to be.
She
mixed.
Talking back to me.
She got to be either. This dog may look white, but that is a black woman inside of that dog.
She give us some attitude, and you talking to her, and she. If I could translate and understand half of the stuff she's saying, I'd probably spank her with my shoe. She probably get a spanking. But yeah, you know, I you can just see you. I don't know, God, I say to me, God can speak to you through anything, mm-hmm. you know. It can be a TV show, it can be something. He can show you his sign through anything. So just you just have to be open for it and just believe and know that.
Yeah.
Let's see, surface versus deep level understanding. Let's talk
about that.
When we sympathize with someone's unfortunate situation, we feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. We have thoughts and feelings about what they are going through, but we don't have a deep understanding of how they are feeling, like
That's
I stated
right.
earlier.
That's right.
Empathizing with someone's circumstances means we are taking the time, effort, and mental space to fully appreciate and understand how they feel.
And I personally like that last one, the empathize type thing, because not a lot of people are willing to sit down and be like, just talk to me, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they just tell the whole story of what happened from how specifically, you know, I saw this person and they final breath in the hospital or whatever situation like
right.
that. And specifically just listen, you don't have to respond. Not one time. You can just nod and try to absorb what's happening. Because there's a difference of trying to respond every 10 seconds because it's almost like, are you listening to what this person's saying? Or are you trying to, like, fill
put
in
your
empty?
Input.
Yeah,
put your
like,
input
are you
in
trying to
it.
Fill in empty gaps in, like, dead
right.
space when they're trying to, like, get through even a sentence? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, sometimes it's just sitting there and just trying to listen and absorb it and trying to understand. That's already effort enough, in my opinion, to really let that sink in. You know what I mean?
Right.
And even when it comes to not even, like, losing somebody, sometimes as well, because me and my mom, at least my mom does this to me a lot, and even my dad does it as well, since they know I really do deal with depression and anxiety. It's when I do get into a dark space like that, it's like, ooh, this child, okay, what do I do? You know, it's like, what do I do? and it comes to an understanding of, like, do we let the child be alone? Or do you let the child try to vent out what she's saying slowly? It
right.
may take hours, but maybe just let her try to speak it out into existence to maybe let some of that pressure off of her shoulders for a moment. You know what I mean?
It's what I've learned, too, because it's been a journey over the past 2 or 3 years since we really start talking about it.
Yeah.
And you really start telling us some things that we were missing. As far as you going through it, when I know that she's kind of like spiraling a little bit into that space, I don't let her leave my sight. I would rather her be in the room with me and let her know that I'm here for her and then give her the opportunity to talk. And I just listen. I don't say nothing. If she wants to just cry and let it out or just, you know, those emotions and things start coming out whereas she's doing it, I'm just there for her. Because I don't want to try to say that, you know.
She understands even if what goes through my head.
Yeah, even if I put myself in your situation, because I've been in those states, but it's not like it's something that I battle and deal with all the time. I can say that I was depressed after a breakup with my first boyfriend.
Yeah,
that's probably the only time that I can remember even going through that type of emotion at that time. Never have set into that state again. You know, I can, other emotions have come along as far as
like anxiety, like how I, not to a degree
to
that
me,
I have,
you know,
it, but more since I would say stress, anxiety, where you break out in hives. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, that happened to me before because it was just the fact that, you know, I didn't like driving at night and we had to come that long distance.
Well,
coming
not
from.
Only that, but I'd say like other circumstances on that trip was definitely like already overwhelming too for you. Like when it came to that competition and everything like that, that
yeah.
already was a mess and a half. But that's a different conversation anyway.
But then, you know, when you think about stuff like that, you just want to, even in those aspects, that's somebody's emotion.
Yeah.
You know, and you can put yourself in someone's shoes when it come down to
with those like I would say service level, but I'll say like more
yeah.
sense of that understanding of that type of anxiety.
And just listen to them, because I know when we were in Shreveport and I didn't like to drive downtown.
Downtown was dark and chaotic, though. I can blame it
on. But it was just that it was almost like I didn't want to. In my mind, I may go down a one-way street and cars is honking at me and this and that. So it just took you being in competitions, me driving, and then just adjust to getting to it. Because mm-hmm. I did use a break out of the hives just thinking about I got to go downtown. I don't know how the traffic going to be. I don't know these street names. I don't know, you know, how to navigate and get around. But then I did that. So
yeah.
People didn't ask me to do that. They did show me empathy on that part. They didn't ask me to come downtown. No. I know we went downtown for your competition. It was almost like a circle.
Yeah.
Go over the bridge, make a right, make a left, and then I'm there. Uh-huh. Come back.
Other direction.
Come back around. Right. So I was good to go.
Yeah. And I just say going back to just like, you know, depression and stuff like that and having anxiety. I get really bad social anxiety to a degree that is suffocating that leads to a panic attack for me, especially if I do not like either remove myself or somebody drags me out of that situation. You know what I mean?
And I pay attention to them when we in situations like that. So I do ask you a lot. Are you okay?
Because it's like unaudible noises. That's the thing. Because like I said, not a lot of people understand depression or anxieties, especially even if you have experienced it, you will never know that person's individual experience because it's like a spectrum. Because
you don't know what triggers it.
Yeah, like it's a spectrum on what each of those like type of emotions can lead towards, because different other types of forms too that I could probably list off, but I'm not going to get too deep onto that because that'll be another topic for another time. But yeah, I would say like I just wanted to add my little notes on like empathizing with that. You know what I mean?
Okay. We're going to go over this. And
do you want to take a break real quick?
No. We can do this and then we can take a break.
Okay.
So understanding from our versus their perspective. Sympathy means hearing someone's bad news, sharing our feelings about it, and saying sorry. That's basically what sympathy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry for your loss. When we practice empathy, we dive into the depth of their emotions and envision ourselves in their situation. It's not about how we feel about their experience, but rather we are putting ourselves in their shoes, pretending to go through what they're going through and feeling their feelings mm-hmm. as far as that is concerned.
Specifically, for instance, if your friend tells you that their dog recently passed away, you sympathize by saying, "I'm sorry for your loss." But if you were to empathize, you would imagine yourself losing a beloved pet and feel the grief and loss that comes with that experience.
Okay. And that's, it's easy to understand those different ones, but you still have to know when to use it.
Well, here's the fun fact that you were talking about earlier anyway. The words sympathy and empathy share the equal suffix pethy, pethy
mm-hmm.
which originates from the Greek word pathos. Pathos is reference to emotions, feelings, and or passion.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Okay. So now we can take a break.
Okay. So after reading this a little bit, we're going to probably take a break and we're going to be right back. Shimmy dance. You shimmy.
Judgment versus non-judgment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just making sure that that big cutoff, I got it right here. That's it.
Okay. Okay. All right. So sympathy involves a superficial understanding of someone's situation. Therefore, it is easy to pass judgment. Empathy allows a person to explore another person's thoughts and feelings, which helps them remove judgment.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if your sibling mentions they are getting a divorce, you sympathize by saying, "That's terrible. It's going to be hard on my nephew. He's going to grow up in a broken home." An empathetic response would be, "Let me know if you want to talk about it. I'll be here for you through it all."
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be judgmental in those situations for those people.
Yeah.
Because you really don't, especially when it comes down to sympathy, you really don't know how they feel.
No, you don't. You really don't at all. Because like I said, people deal with certain things very different than what you would do. You would probably say, "Well, I would do this X, Y, and Z type of stuff," but you really won't know.
You don't. You know,
until it actually happens to you, or at most experience it to a degree or whatever. You know what I mean?
So. That again, that divorce or even a parent and parents separating.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard on the child.
Yeah, hard on the child.
Because you really, really
way.
Have to pay attention to that.
Young or old, in my opinion, yeah. It's hard either way.
Have to pay attention to that. So, really, you know, be more empathetic and try to put yourself in that person's shoes. Mm-hmm. And just like they said, you know, just be there for them. Because
right.
Sometimes a person just wants you to listen. And they could probably just talk through the process of
right.
their feelings and right. the situation.
As we mentioned earlier, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, even with what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Not a lot of people understand our circumstances
no.
at all.
No.
They will try, but it's like the trying. I don't think you need to try at this point. It's more since it's like, okay, what can I do to help or something
right,
like that, you know?
Right. And I have more friends that tell me, just if you need to talk, just call me and, you know, we can talk. So I have friends that I haven't called them yet, but I have texted a few to let them know as far as how I feel about certain things. And then, you know, they just there for me.
Mm-hmm.
No judgment whatsoever. They just there for me. And
yeah.
I appreciate that too.
Yeah.
Thank you, sister. So, was there anything that I missed in that part?
No, it's this next part anyway that gets cut off at the second paragraph.
Okay, then you'll take that
yeah,
part.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Unsolicited advice versus active listening.
I think some of y'all need to really listen to this, especially on
right.
social media days. No hate, but I'm just saying.
Sympathizing does not involve feeling someone's emotion. Therefore, when we hear about their problem, we immediately feel the urge to fix it because we pity them. We suppress our own emotions. We don't know exactly what they're going through, and it's easier to focus on the solution rather than validate their experiences.
All right. When we empathize with a close one, we connect deeply to their experience. We ask questions to understand, practice active listening, read their facial expressions and body language, and behave sensitively to their needs.
Okay. So it's still, you know, like they're saying, you can't really say too much when someone has lost a loved one or lost
no.
someone close to them or a pet or something. You really can't say too much
yeah.
or try to give them advice on how to get through things because everybody that navigate through a loss
no.
in a different way.
In my opinion, like how it is for any situation, unless they ask for what direction and you like probably give them like, if you personally, let me say this first, if you personally have a degree more sense of understanding a circumstance and try to like say, for instance, like, mama, I don't know about this new job that I'm about to get, you know, I feel like I'm not going to be doing that great about it or anything like that, the sort. Can you give me some advice about what they're probably going to be asking me in the interview or something? Like, if I'm asking her specifically that question, I feel like the response will come to me
right.
since she has that experience. You know what I mean? But
right.
I already know that. But if it's like complete stranger type of sense or I'm most trying to understand, it's like, okay, I can probably give you some 2 cents and you can just use it from there.
Right.
But if I'm like saying, for instance, like, asking a peer of mine that probably has never worked in their life and they trying to give me their advice, I probably would take it with a grain of salt.
But then, you know, they probably going off what they seen on TV.
That's
what
I'm
they
saying.
Seen
I'm like, I would take
media.
It with a grain of salt.
But then, you know, they may know something.
Maybe.
Especially if they
maybe had their
talk
own
to
friends.
Another peer.
Say, maybe
yeah,
had
that have gone through that and seen or heard them express how the job is, you know.
But once again, that is your choice to absorb that in and that information and use
yeah.
it. That's it.
So
but,
you basically really want somebody who's just going to listen to you
right.
for the most part
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to especially that empathy.
Right.
Because right now, my best friend, we've been friends since we were in the eighth and ninth grade.
Does she know about this podcast?
No. I haven't told her.
You should. And that's rude that you have, that we almost finished with this
I
season.
I don't want to hear it because she's going to already
act a
total
fool. She's
going to
kick you.
Don't do it. But yeah, she really going to act a fool. And you just telling me now? Uh-uh. She probably hang up on me. Like, no. But she'll be understanding. We've been friends all this time. She loves me. She loves me. We'll see. I'll tell her this weekend.
Oh, Lord. Pray for her. Oh, my God, Jesus.
Pray for me. I'll tell her this weekend. Yep.
Okay, so the topic got cut off, but specifically, what does it say?
Which is better, empathy or sympathy?
Mm-hmm. That whole section got cut off. Okay. This whole section got cut off.
I don't know. It looked like it was coming down on this page, but mm-hmm. then it was ants and stuff in there, oh, so that's the reason why it did that.
Okay. Anyway, specifically, which is better, though? Empathy or sympathy? As I mentioned earlier in this podcast, neither are better, which is what exactly they said on here. It depends on context, like I said earlier, and knowing when to use empathy or sympathy. Once again, like I said earlier, both empathy and sympathy are needed for emotional and mental well-being.
Yeah.
So, that's just my opinion. And,
you want somebody to show you
yep.
empathy or sympathy. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to basically try to navigate. Some people don't have another choice but to navigate on their own. And then mm-hmm. then you holding some of those emotions inside and you carrying that weight on your own. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what may happen where those emotions may just come out.
Right.
You know, right. And may come out in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have support groups and this and that. Because you got those support groups. It's not judgmental.
Support groups. You got therapists, and you want to talk right. to somebody else as a complete stranger. And you want to create right. a bond with them or whatever. You can do so.
Yep.
And even sometimes, like as mentioned before, talking to family and friends that are willing to listen yep. to you, you can do that. You know.
Yep. And I do have family members that are listening and yep. and not say anything. Just be that ear for me.
Okay. So when to show empathy? So you can start.
Okay. So empathy is essential for building deep and meaningful relationships with others. If you are unable to understand another person's perspective, it can be challenging to effectively communicate and problem solve together.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you and your partner are fighting, it can be difficult to resolve the conflict if you are unable to empathize with their point of view. Instead of working as a team toward a solution, you focus on trying to convince the other that you're right, which creates a bigger divide in the relationship.
Yeah. Which is very true. It's true.
Sometimes I really want to be right.
Yeah, I'm like, it's true.
I want to be right a lot of times.
Like, it's true. It's not like I'm saying I'm not the same way, but that's a pretty bird anyway.
Mm-hmm. But I have to, like I said, you know, with my husband, we've been together for 30 years. So we're going to agree and we're going to disagree.
Yeah.
And it's going to be times that he's going to be right and it's going to be a lot of times that I'm right.
he's going to really be like, you said that. That's exactly what he's going to say. But yeah. It's not
he probably said, you think you're right all the time, but you don't want to listen.
But the thing is, it's not like he does not, because I would definitely say probably in his early stages, definitely took him a process to say, hey, I did this wrong. I said this wrong, you know, because
right.
I don't personally know it because I didn't exist, but specifically, like early stages, maybe it was kind of difficult to probably express that in the beginning. Maybe I don't know.
That as far as being wrong,
yeah,
yeah, but no, I guess you know, in our early part of our relationship, we had to get to know each other,
right.
And you get to know what
things who that you individual
say, yeah,
is,
what things you know? That you say to that person that probably will hurt their feelings, and then if they start acting a different way. Then you put yourself in their shoes and think, oh, I probably couldn't have said that. Yeah. So, yeah, early on, he did. He would come back and apologize.
Yeah.
So, he understood, you know, because he didn't want me to be upset with him, mm-hmm. number one. And we really, I mean, to say that we've been together for 30 years, you know you have to put some time and effort
mm-hmm.
into a relationship in order to be together for that long period of time. So, yeah.
I would definitely say when they both upset, though, it's like more sense. It's like thunder and like just a pouring rainstorm over there. It's like ain't no stopping that. And it's like, okay, when's the storm gonna end? What's the forecast today? You know what I mean? It's
But
like,
you know, that just hey.
but obviously, you know, after when the rain pours, you know, you get, you know, a sunny
You
day
just
the
give
next
yourself
day.
your space.
Yeah.
Give the individual their space. And just you have to step away to give yourself, each other, an opportunity to absorb what happened. Because most of the time, when you're just constantly talking, 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 talking,
I'm
it's just
like,
like
it's just
my
noise at this
point
point,
over
you
your
know?
point or my point over your
Like I
point.
said, just like
You're not,
noise at this
yeah,
point.
you're not paying any attention to what the other individual is saying.
Yeah.
So once, because sometimes it may take a day or two,
Yeah.
and then we come back around and we say something. Other than that, you know, I'm gonna say something to each other. Just say something about that particular topic.
And
So.
I'll say this for sure with y'all, as far as I have seen anyway, specifically, the best time that y'all really resolve stuff, which in my opinion is like to a degree a healthy bit in y'all's relationship, is y'all sit down and talk in private. And sometimes that is good to do, in my opinion, in a relationship to like maybe understand the other person, how they felt in that moment, to apologize or whatever in what they said in that moment, either on one end or both ends or whatever, you know. And in my opinion, that's always like a smooth foundation on communication sometimes, even if it does take a minute, you know what I mean, to even have like have that argument. It's like, what the heck just happened? I feel like I got whiplash.
It wasn't even the thing about it. Sometimes it should have never been an argument.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it should have never just gotten that far. It's just that somebody's going to have to. It's got to be a communication. It's not. I'm going to say communication. It's
Agreement.
well, not even an agreement. It's just gonna. Both of you are gonna have to understand. Well, it's got to be a balance. That's basically what it is. It's gonna have to be a balance as to sometimes some people give in, but they may be right. You know, and other times when some people just give in just to keep everything going, but you're not happy. So it's best to go ahead on and just let that emotion come out so they can understand how you feel. And then they can put themselves in your shoes, especially when it comes down to, you know, it's going to be empathy at that particular time. And because my emotion is overflowing and I'm telling you, so I just want you to listen to me at this moment. Put yourself in my shoes, look at it from my perspective, and then let's see how we can move forward with it. So, but and that's I
Like, not
think
this
as
turned
far
to a
as
relationship advice
right,
podcast.
but I'm just saying with us, that's basically how
Yeah.
everything has worked out for us over
Yeah.
the years, you know. And it'd be like, oh, okay, then did I say that? I don't remember saying it because you more or less wanted to get your point across and not listen to what I'm saying, or more or less want to get my point across and not listen to what you're saying. So yeah, we do have to just balance it out to the point of, because we don't get to cursing, screaming,
No,
this and that type
throwing
of
stuff,
situation.
it
Yeah,
never got
stuff like
that
that.
far,
Yeah,
ever,
it's
even in
just
my
that because
lifespan.
it's just it's because both of us like peace,
Yeah.
and I rather have some peace in my life so I can go to sleep at night than
And not
to
be angry, tearing up,
right
balling fists
than
while
to
he's
be
sleeping.
heated with somebody and I can't sleep. I'm probably thinking about some wrong things, you know, instead
Which
of
is
trying
all in the
to
devil's work right there.
right, relax and go to sleep. So yeah, we work things out. And then we have a good friends and stuff too, so we good. Wanna take a break?
Yeah, we can specifically then finish out this last little bit, then take another break.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're gonna take a little break and then we'll be right back. Okay, you stopped at empathy,
Empathy fatigue.
fatigue, okay.
Okay. So, however, empathy fatigue can occur if you are overly concerned and constantly feel the feelings of others. Your energy becomes depleted and you may feel numb, burnt out, powerless, and less compassionate. You are at an increased risk of empathetic distress. Wow.
I've been there before
And you know
though.
there's a thing called empathy because putting the weight of the world on your shoulders. Yeah. You're just taking everybody feelings in.
Yeah. I've been there before because of All-Star Cheerleading, and that's the thing. Because I feel like more since I really got, like, I'll say the slow undertone, at least undertones of me trying to, like, help out other people, not helping myself at right. all in the certain situations. Right. And then I would say around 2020 was definitely for sure for me the downfall. And when I felt like I was getting burnt out, like, completely burnt out and just numb. And, like, I really, like I said, it just sat with myself. I'm like, what is the point of me doing this anymore? What was my purpose, like how it was in the beginning? You know, it was just so many questions. And then
cheer was your life in the beginning. That's what you told me.
I'm like, but then in the beginning, anyway, it was just something new. And something new for me was something exciting all over again. So that's all that was. And then obviously, you know, you make friendships along the way and stuff like that. Or more since, you make friendships with whatever you do. Either some of them can be long term and others can be just, you know, for that period of time. And then specifically, you know, you try to help out your teammates, help out, you know, the person that's in that tumbling class that's kind of struggling that you only meet like once a week. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just in general, trying to just help them. You might be helping yourself a little bit, but that little bit could turn into, I see them succeeding more than me.
Right.
And that's what happened. And it's like really sunk in. It's like, what is my purpose on like being on the same level for like 4 years straight? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like,
I did see that happen.
I lost motivation completely. I was like, I'm done, you know?
Right.
And even though that was supposed to be my last year, 2019, 2020, anyway, because I really wanted to focus on my studies to, like, all the way from my sophomore, no.
That's right.
Okay, sophomore year mm-hmm. all the way to, like, my senior year. That's all I wanted to do. And really just put, like, time focus on that. Probably would get a second job on top of, like, the other. That was my plan. That was not God's plan, but that was my plan.
We got a lot of plans. That's not his plan. So we need to make sure when we have our little dreams in our head about how life is going to be for us, that we put him in charge of it.
Yeah. But I'll say that I felt that before, and it's not a good feeling at all. And it really what is my purpose? You know what I mean? That's how I felt like to personally. But anyway.
It almost seemed like you were motivational for other people, but you didn't give yourself that same motivation.
Yeah. It was definitely, like I said, a tough place. But anyway.
Yeah. When to show sympathy. In the age of mobile phones and social media, we are bombarded, just like I was saying earlier, bombarded with distressing news at our fingertips. It's mm-hmm. easy to become overwhelmed by what's happening in the world. So sympathy allows us to learn and stay informed about global issues without being emotionally consumed.
Yeah, I'll say Twitter and probably Reddit is probably like the top two. I'll say that for sure. Like, I will get a notification on Reddit and I forget I'm even logged on to there sometimes.
Right.
And I'm like, what news about this, about politics? I didn't even subscribe to this site.
But then you have people that really just that global news can be so overwhelming because so many things as far as wars and bombings and deaths and stuff all around the world mm-hmm. that can be such a big emotional thing for some people.
Yep.
And they don't watch the news that much.
No. I mean, we consume the news specifically from time to time, but I know
time to time, but I'm not.
It's not that, like, it's an everyday thing. That, like, we wake up in the morning, we watch CNN or something. It's not like that.
You watching the morning news, you watching the afternoon news, you watching the evening news, and if you're up late at night, then you're watching the late night news and this and that.
That will mess up your brain, to be honest with you, after a period of time. Anyway, last sentence before we try to wrap this up. Anyway, of our final thoughts. Sympathy has been shown to be associated with these moral and pro-social behaviors, such as cooperation, sharing, load, discrimination? Yes. Mm-hmm. Supporting, helping, and protecting others.
So sympathy has been shown to be associated with moral and
pro-social
behaviors. Okay.
Just food for thought.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
But specifically, just to wrap this little tidbit up, because I know we're running a little bit over time, but specifically, I would say, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, it's not like one thing is bad and one thing is good. You can use sympathy and empathy in any circumstance. It just depends on how you use it and when to use it. That's all that is. And specifically, in my opinion, it's good to empathize with people, but you don't need to do it all the time because it can drain your energy, as mentioned up in there as well, because it can lead to burnout and stuff like that, as I have experienced.
Right.
And specifically, in my opinion, you know, sympathizing with someone might be a quick resolve, but sometimes, you know, you don't need to do that like every second. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's, like I say, sometimes it is good to be like, I'm sorry for your loss, just to really just put that out there. That's all I'm going to say. Any final notes, Mama?
Just really, just like you're saying, just to piggyback on what you're saying, just remember when you sympathizing with somebody, you basically understanding that person's emotion, understanding their emotion. And when you're showing empathy, you feeling basically that emotion. You feeling them. You putting yourself in their shoes. So I, you know, and the crazy part about this, when we say we was going to do the discussion, it, she wrote down our
the titles
last year.
Yeah.
And I was at work and it was one of the trainings that we did. It was like a 10-20 minute training, self training.
What was the idea of that?
It was sympathy versus empathy. And we had to do that at the job because you, some people are on the phones and they're talking to people about their taxes and stuff. And you can't, you really have to empathize with what they're going through. I mean, that emotion, if they yelling and screaming and cursing and this and that, it's not about you. It's about what they're doing at that time. And you, that individual on that phone, getting that. So they had to bring that up and let them know, don't take it. Don't take it personally. You know, just put yourself in that individual's space to understand and just get through that call with them. That's even with me having to handle things with them because I'm not on the phones, but still I had to understand what they're saying and try to get the resource and the information back to them as quickly as possible. And then that way we can go ahead on and get them off the phone and they can just help the other person. So they really appreciate it. So I don't know how many people that I help or how many situations. I know for sure, probably about 300. I know that for sure, about 300. If not, I know for sure, maybe over 300 because I got, it's over 300.
I'm like, you got years on your life, you know. You had to put your 2 cents probably with some people, you know what I mean?
I try to make people feel happy, you know. How your day going? How you doing? I hope you're having a wonderful day. Just starting that off with them to kind of like break the ice before I ask them, how can I, once they already tell me, how can I assist them anyway? It's just the fact that I rephrase it in my own words just to make sure that I'm understanding what they come to me for. And then I start grabbing it and trying to assist them in getting it done.
Yeah, I definitely would say I would agree with that as well. But yeah, we're going to take another break and we will end the podcast episode. Alrighty, folks, if you have enjoyed this podcast episode, please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and also on YouTube of the audio version. And specifically, you can go to our website, www.whatsthetopicagain.com. We have blog posts on there. Hopefully, we will update it soon. Because it needs to be updated real bad. And specifically...
Yeah, we do need to
update it. Yeah, we need to update it.
Yeah.
And specifically, I would say this is the second to last episode before we end this season. Not saying we ain't going to be coming back. Because we're going to be coming back. Big and strong. New set. Hopefully, a lot of new things. Hopefully, a lot more different topics to talk about.
Yep.
And once again, like I said, it's not like we're going to be completely gone off this page. Shorts will be posted up on here, and also like special episodes, either like dedicated to certain topics,
right?
That is like long form type of stuff that Just we didn't feel like it could either be incorporated into like the podcast
part
season.
Part one, part two, part three.
Yeah. And just, you know, we going to keep y'all updated. And of course, right. whenever a date will be settled for season two, we will definitely let y'all know first. YouTube fam will know first. And trust me, if you go to our blog page, hopefully we'll create like a newsletter outlet, hopefully probably one day. And you can like, we won't be spammed. But you can like probably just get some newsletters and updates about like what has happened each month or something.
Yeah, you don't want to exactly.
Yeah, like each month or something.
You don't want to overload nobody with anything.
That's
like
all.
That.
That's probably eventually what we're gonna do soon.
I got something to tell them.
Okay, what you got?
I just had a birthday.
Ooh, yay! She turned a year older.
A year old. That's all we're gonna say.
Yeah. we did
another chapter.
Mm-hmm, that's all. That is our birthday was last week as specifically when this is posted.
Right.
But as we record this, it happened this week. So she had a good birthday. She had good gifts. The pictures on screen. She got a microphone. She annoying me the crap out of
you
it.
You had the microphone. Or don't say I annoy
said
you.
For like two times. You probably used it five or six times after when you bought it.
This is my microphone. That's what I got for my birthday gift. I love it.
She got two purses. What else she got? Yeah,
perfume.
I made you a cake.
Yep.
And I didn't take no picture of the cake. That made me so sad.
Made my favorite meal. I ain't take no picture, no food, no nothing either.
No, but it's always the thought
it was
always
delicious.
Treasure in your head. That's
exactly.
That's,
I will.
That's how it should be.
I will, yeah.
That's how it should be.
Everything don't have to be shared on social media.
No, but it's a good thing to like have that memory shared with the people that you care about most.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. Hopefully you'll have a very blessed and good rest of y'all week anyway, and we will see you guys next week for the final episode of the podcast. Bye-bye.